So hopefully, and it was a little more complicated than that. One you have to put the sound up to, and the other one you don't. Okay, I think we're good. Is this guy working? Well, so this week is part two of developing our spirit. It is, I think, really important that we learn to develop our spirit, because it's an acquired skill. It's not something that we are born easily with, but we learn to develop it, because it's our spirit that contacts the Holy Spirit. God speaks to you and I through your spirit, my spirit. And if we haven't been taught, or we don't know how to connect, then it's like somebody just coming up and speaking Russian to you. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I encourage you to listen to these messages a few times. I'm going to go over some of it again today. I started with John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the first seven verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then it's what struck me about that was that when you speak to someone who's unsaved, sometimes it's frustrating when it's like they can't see the forest for the trees, you know? But in fact, they don't have the nature of God in them. They have the devil's nature. And so until you are truly born again, and I sometimes am frustrated at how easily people try to get others. It's like getting a notch on your belt. I hope that's working. Getting a notch on your belt, leading someone to the Lord, without emphasizing what that truly means, what it means to be born again, truly born again. That it's not something that should ever be taken lightly. I heard this story, I'm sure it's a joke, but I heard this story years ago where there was some kind of an altar call, and this bad person, he was a crook, came up and got saved. And afterwards, when they saw his life, he was still doing the things he was doing. And the pastor took him aside and said, "What are you doing? You know, you're supposed to be born again." He said, "Yeah. You said that come and be the best you can be. So I'm being the best crook I can be." And not understanding that being born again means a commitment to God. It's not just a get out of jail card or get out of hell card, but it is definitely the most important decision anyone ever makes. And so when Jesus says you can't see the kingdom, it's so important for us who have entered into that to pray for those. Because the Bible talks about how the enemy has put a veil over their eyes and they can't see. And I know I was there. I was at that place, and not very nice about it either. But God was merciful, So he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can you enter the womb second time? And then Jesus responded, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And then let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. See, it takes a while when you hear something like this, it takes a little while for it to become a reality within. Most of us don't immediately absorb it. We need to have time to reflect upon it and let it sink in. So in Hebrews 12:9, it says, furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, born of the flesh, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Who's the Father of spirits? God the Father. When you become born again, he becomes your Father. He becomes your Father. And then in verse 23, same chapter, to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, praise God, to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirit of just men made perfect is simply talking about those who have been born again being brought into maturity. That God wants you and I to move on to maturity. Too many times people get born again and they stay babies for the rest of their lives. But God wants us to grow in the things of God. And so when we turn right here, we just go past James and stop at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are born again through the word of God. And who's the word? Jesus is. We are born again through Jesus. And what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence inside your spirit, my spirit. He is living within us. Now, sometimes we don't acknowledge that, and we certainly don't take advantage of it. But if we go one more over to 2 Peter, and I'm going to read the first four verses. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who are born again. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how is grace and peace multiplied? And it, through the knowledge. Through the knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word of God. Through the knowledge of the Word of God. That's why it's so important for you and I to meditate in the Word. Because the blessings that we're going to obtain come through the knowledge of the Word, as you're going to see momentarily. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power, God's power, miraculous power, supernatural power, power that nothing can stand against. His miracle power has given to you and to myself all things. All things. What kind of things? Well, things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, the word life there is the word Zoe. Anybody know what Zoe means? Zoe is the life of God. It's the nature of God. It's the supernatural life of God. It's the God life, God life. So he's given us all things that pertain to the life and nature of God and godliness. How is that done again? Through the knowledge of him who called us to glory, which is holiness, and virtue, moral excellence. He has called us to a life that contains the nature of God and the power of God working inside each and every one of us, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, Zoe, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that's this few verses. In order to begin to understand them, you really have to sit on them. I mean, I've been reading them now for 6 weeks, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And I have to say that I'm beginning to understand. But just reading them through a few times, it's not going to become real to you. It's not going to become real to you. I know that years ago, when I was studying healing, needed it desperately in my life, and Christine will attest to this, 7 days a week, I worked full time, I had 2 kids, and 7 days a week, I spent 4 or 5 hours a day in the Word of God. Every day. Every day. Every day. Why do I understand healing, do you think? I have soaked in it until it is a part of my spiritual bloodstream. Do you understand? I mean, and it's been challenged, you know, just because I believe in it, don't think for a moment that it's been a free ride. Most of you know what's happened in my family. We've had to really deal with some tough issues. But if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't soaked in the Word, it wouldn't have worked. And it's the same thing. I'm telling you, this portion of Scripture is so important that if you get it, if you can get this portion of Scripture, it is going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Even the last part here where it says, escape the corruption that is in the world. The word corruption means spiritual death. It includes sickness and disease, poverty, and everything else that the devil brings. That's what it's talking about. That you will escape that. How do you do it? Through the precious promises. Through the promises. But those promises have to become real to you. And you can't get them here. Now you need your mind. You need your mind. You must have your mind working. Because if your mind doesn't cooperate with you, it'll never get to your spirit. But not just your mind. If it stays in the intellect, it'll become a frustration, just a simple frustration. Because you'll see something and think, why am I not experiencing this? But if we'll stay with it, if we'll soak in it, and I'm telling you, you got to soak in it, soak in it. God, reveal this to me. Reveal, let me understand. Let me understand this. And I've read it and read it, and I've probably read it 500 times, at least, in the last 5 weeks. And I'm just scratching the surface on this. But at least I'm scratching it. It's starting to become real. And I intend to stay with it until it becomes absolutely real. Absolutely real. But it's work. It's work. It's not easy. It's not simple. It takes time to understand piece by piece. Grace and peace is multiplied, that means lots of, through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of the Word of God. That's how it comes. His divine power has given us all things. Do you feel like God's given you all things? Do you? I don't. It isn't real to me yet. I'm just being honest with you. It's not. It's starting to become real, but it's not all things. God has given you all things. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? All things that pertain to the life of God and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge. You can't get away from that knowledge. You can't get away from the knowledge of the Word. There is no other way to do it. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and holiness, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. What promises? All the promises in the Bible. All the promises in the Bible, they've been given to us. That through these promises, you and I may be partakers of the divine nature. Through these promises. Through the promises. God wants us to have them. He wants you and I to have them. He's not holding them back from us. But in order for us to live in these promises, they have to become real. They have to become faith. They have to become faith in your spirit, not just words in your memory, not just words in your mind. The knowledge here that it's talking about, I looked that up, and here's the definition of the word knowledge here. It is more intense than just knowledge because it expresses a more thorough participation in the acquiring of this knowledge on the part of the learner. Do you know what that means? Do you hear what that's saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to read it a few times too, so don't feel bad. It is more intense than just knowledge because it expresses a more thorough... In other words, it is saying that if you want this knowledge, you have to thoroughly participate in acquiring this knowledge. Thoroughly. You have to give yourself to participate. It's not just a matter of just reading the words and saying, you know, God is my provider. Okay, good, got it. No. That word has to literally become a part of you. A part of you. And as it becomes a part of you, it changes you. It changes the way you think. We are growing in this. That's where our spirit... For many of us, I mean, I was 30 years old. I didn't even know I had a spirit. I had no idea. No idea. No one ever told me. It takes time for it, my spirit, to grow up. It's got to grow up. And it grows up, you know, just like the body feeds on natural food. The intellect feeds on intellectual stimulation. You know, if you were never challenged intellectually on any level, you'd be so bored you'd want to die. But your spirit, it hungers for the Word of God. It hungers for the Word of God. It wants to grab that Word and begin to understand what it's saying. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit's job is to take these promises here and turn them into reality for us. But for that to happen, it requires a thorough participation by you and me in the acquiring of this knowledge. We can't do it without him, and he won't do it without us. That's what it's saying there. That's what it's saying. And then in verse 3, it's talking about the godlight, the divine power. He's given us all things, all things, all things. What things? Things that pertain to Zoe life. God's life, God's life. God's not suffering. God's not poor. God's not sick. God's not nervous. God's not anxious. God's not depressed. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is saying here that he wants to give that kind of life to you and me. But it has got to be embraced by your spirit. By your spirit. Most, and for so many people, their spirit is something that is somewhere. I have no idea where or how it is or what it does or how to talk to it or if I can talk to it. And their intellect, their emotions dominate their lives. For most people, their emotions dominate their lives. Decisions are made based on how they feel about things. That's why we need to learn. That's why we need to get, especially today. You look what's going on in the world now. I mean, it's actually, Christine had a brilliant insight last week. Shall I share it with you? We were watching the news, and the news was talking about how unhappy everybody is and how angry they are with each other and how they're always criticizing one another. And Christine turned and said, well, of course they are, because that's what their leaders are doing. Leaders. The leaders. You were talking about the leaders, the leaders of all the parties that go around and tear each other apart and rip each other up and say everything they're doing is no good. Well, that spirit gets on everybody else. Did I say it right there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Well, that knowledge that God has given us in this book, it reveals exceedingly great and precious promises. And these promises that God has given us, they are saying to us, you are allowed, invited to participate in God's divine grace. Now, it doesn't mean we become God. You know, let's be real clear about that. But we have his nature in us. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to live in poverty. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to have all those negative things going on, even though they're going on all around us. To the degree that we have the nature of God flowing through us, that we are yielded to and embracing, we're able to resist it. That's what it's saying. It's saying this Zoe life allows us to escape the corruption that is in the world. And I told you what the word, the corruption means: spiritual death, sickness, disease, poverty, and everything else that the devil brings. That's what the definition of it is. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that you and I are never going to be attacked. I wish I could say that. Boy, do I wish I could say that. We know we're going to be. You know, I mean, it's reality. And while we live, Jesus said, while you live on this planet, you will have tribulation. We will. You know? I said to someone this morning, I'm just hoping when we get to heaven, we all get to beat on the devil for 1,000 years. You know? Give him a taste of his own medicine. The good news is that when the attack is over, you can still be standing. That's in Matthew 7:24, the foundations. There was one built his foundation on the rock, one on sand. Both were attacked. Both of them came up against storms. The difference was the one who had his foundation on the rock was still standing when it was over. But it doesn't mean you're not going to pick up some bruises along the way. Now, the next part of what I'm going to talk about here, we still have a bit, is so crucially important. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This can save you and I so much grief. I mean, it can save us if only we'd learned it earlier. Better late than never. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Now, the fruit here that it's talking about, it's not talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the human spirit. I'm going to prove that to you as we go along here. In the Greek, there's only one word that refers to the spirit, and that's pneuma. And you have to tell by the context whether it's referring to the Holy Spirit or to the human spirit. Now, you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't need to grow fruit. He's already perfect. That's one thing. And the fruit that this human spirit needs is all these ones that I just read. Now in John 15, I'm going to come back to this, but in John 15, 5, Jesus said that he is the vine, which is the trunk of the tree, and we are the branches. Where does fruit grow? Not on the trunk, on the branches. And we're the branches. We are the branches. And the fruit of love, the first fruit, when you are born again, is love. And the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by how you love one another. Love one another. Now, that fruit has to be cultivated. You know what I'm saying? It has to be cultivated. It's not something that will just naturally emerge for most of us. For most of us, we have to learn to let the fruit of love be developed within us. And that fruit of the Spirit that grows in our born-again human spirit is because of the life of Christ within us. As we embrace the workings of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that fruit of love will start to emerge, because you have the nature of God inside of you. I have the nature of God inside of me. And so I can choose to allow his nature to dominate me. And if I'll do that, then the fruit of love will start to grow. Here's the benefit. From the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful, and is not jealous or envious. Love doesn't brag, and it's not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not provoked, nor is it overly sensitive or easily angered. It doesn't take into account a wrong endured, and it does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast through difficult time, and endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. Now that's the nature of God in here. This is the nature of God. The nature of God who's living in you. He's living in you. Now, can you imagine how much more peaceful life would be if for us if we were living this. So many things would happen. We wouldn't get nearly as aggravated as we do with people. And it would open the floodgates of blessing on you. I mean, God wouldn't know when to stop. He's looking for people who will be like this. But this is a daily choice. It's not easy. But if we look at a scripture, and I'm going to read to you from 1 John 3:4. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That's spiritual death. Spiritual death. That should motivate us. That should motivate us to say, I'm going to live like this. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, in fact, as I look at this list, I suspect we won't get to the end of it before Jesus returns. But it is the nature of God within us, God's nature, to bring us to a place. Because you know what? It takes energy to hate somebody. It takes energy and to be stressed out all the time. And to be angry, it takes energy to do that. And it's not good for our health. You know, some people get so mad they have a heart attack. I'm always telling Christine when we're behind the wheel, you ease up, girl, ease up. Just. You know. This is what God is calling us to. This is what he's calling you and me to. And it's a challenge. No question, it's a major challenge. Major. But if we know that God, his perfect will for us is to embrace his nature, and we have his nature living in us, it can be done. But it requires a commitment level that very, very, very few Christians are willing to do. And you can't do it unless you get this into your spirit. We can't do this with our intellect. The intellect won't last. The emotions won't last. Your soul can't handle this. It can't. It's not meant to. But your spirit can. Your spirit can. As we allow the spirit of the one who lives within us to develop, to lead. It's a day-by-day choice. And you can't do it if you don't spend time with him either. You can't do it. I guarantee you can't do it if you don't spend time with him. What's the most important thing in your life? What is? What's the most important? Ask yourself the question. What is the most important thing in my life? Well, what's the most important thing? Eternity. Is anything more important to you than eternity? Anything. Is anything more important to you than eternity? I don't think so. Because nothing else is going to last. Nothing. Your job won't last. Anything else won't last. But eternity will last for eternity. And so as we are preparing ourselves, so to speak, for eternity, you and I, we're preparing ourselves for eternity. And that God is giving us the opportunity to arrive at eternity in better shape than we're in. And I believe we all want to, or we wouldn't be here. You know, there's not a person here who wants to stand before Jesus and have him say, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody.
Especially the I never knew part.
Well, that's, yeah, that's, but even if it's, yeah, you know, those who are, we, you know what, you don't want to be someone who got into heaven by the skin of their teeth. You know? You got in the door, but I don't know if you remember the story I told once about General Booth. General Booth was leading a Christian life and, you know, thought he was doing great. And one night he had a dream. And he went up to heaven in the dream. And in heaven he saw Jesus talking to people. And he went over to Jesus and thought, you know, he'd get a big welcome. And Jesus turned to him and said, I'm going to paraphrase here. You won't be very comfortable here. You don't have anything in common with these people. These are the people who have given their lives for me. People who have loved me and served me and who have represented me. And you won't feel very comfortable here among them. You know what? That changed his life. He came back from his, well, his dream ended. And he founded the Salvation Army. This is our chance to do something. This is our chance. And you can't do it all overnight. So, you know, don't set your mind that it's like saying I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 3 weeks. Nobody's going to do that. You know, I don't care if you starve yourself. You're not going to do that. You have to get a long-term view. But do something. You know, do something. I can't meditate in the Word for 3 hours. Okay, can you do 15 minutes? Start with 15 minutes and build it slowly. Build it slowly. God will bless you and reward you for your efforts. That's what He will do. And when you hit a crisis, you'll be glad you know God. You'll be glad that you can draw on the promises of God that are becoming real to you. God is a gracious and kind person. But it's up to you and me to develop our spirit. He's not going to do it for us. He's not going to. I wish He would, but He's not going to. That's not scriptural. It's up to you and I. And I think I've done enough. In part two, I'll show you where He says that. That it's not. He's not going to, and it's up to you and I. And He tells us that very clearly. So, I think we're done. So, Lord, help us. Help us, O Lord, as we are committed to moving forward in Your truths and in Your principles and in Your promises. Open the eyes of our understanding and give us clarity in our hearts, Lord. Father, help us to train our spirit. Help us, Lord. Most of us have really never done it and don't really know how to. But You do, Lord. You do. And so I'm asking, there are things specifically that we can do, which we'll get into later. But I know it's Your desire to speak clearly to Your people. Jesus, precious, precious name. Amen. I'm going to tell you just one little last story here, and that is that a couple of months back, someone came to me and said, there's this incredible stock, and it's going to shoot through the moon, and I'm giving you a chance to get in on the ground floor. And, you know, I expect to make, this person said, I expect to make $1 million off it. And I've known this person for 20 years. Anyway, I said, let me pray over it. And I prayed and spoke to the Lord, and nope, stay away from it. And that's, anytime He's told me that in the past, disaster followed on whatever the item was. So I said, no, I can't. And probably 3 weeks later, this individual lost $100,000 on that stock. $100,000. And it's not done yet. God will tell you things, you know. God will tell you things. Things that are important. You know, he wants, you know, those who are the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. So he wants to tell you stuff. He's got lots of, Jesus said so, John 16. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That means that he will explain to us the reality of spiritual truths and promises. And we need it. Amen?